can see them all over NFL.com and on the NFL Network. Bucky Brooks just grabbed the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line to talk ball with us. Bucky went to North Carolina. Bucky, are you okay with how much attention Zion Williamson and Duke basketball is getting right now, or is that driving you nuts?
I mean, it's driving me a little nuts, but I am fascinated by what they've assembled there. The one thing that I try and take solace in is I know that those guys are only going to be at Duke for 1 year. We'll be back to kind of lording over the ACC, hopefully, shortly thereafter.
Well, Bucky, if you had to pick one position for Zion Williamson, what would it be? I mean, honestly, on the football field.
You know the way that tight end is.
I mean, man, like, you're talking about a dude who is so athletic, and it's kind of depressing me as an old football scout to see someone with that size, that kind of athleticism, to think about what he could be. As much as we talk about that guy being a standout tight end, imagine his athleticism and footwork at a left tackle.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
What he would be able to do, like, in terms of that, or even put him on the other side if he had a national mentality and wanted to be a pass rusher. Like, I am obviously jaded because having been at Carolina when we took Julius Peppers and watched his athleticism and how he's been able to dominate the league, to think someone on the basketball court that can do those things, to put him in pads, man, the imagination just kind of runs rampant with the thoughts and possibilities of what Zion Williamson could be.
That's good. Julius Peppers could play ball, too, both ways, football and basketball. We're talking to Bucky Brooks, who's joining us right now, and he also does some mock drafts with NFL.com, really into the draft as we get closer. This is going to sound funny, Bucky. I want to ask you about the 2018 NFL draft. Knowing what you know now on November 16th, where would you draft Josh Rosen?
Look, I was one of Josh Rosen's biggest fans when it came to how he played, his readiness in terms of being an NFL quarterback. Some of that comes from personal experience. I coached high school ball out in L.A. when Josh was a sophomore at St. John's Bosco. My team, Notre Dame High School, we faced off with Josh Rosen and had a great appreciation for his game walking off the field. And so to watch him grow and mature into a player, I know he's a high IQ guy. He's a guy who has all the physical characteristics that you look for in traditional franchise quarterbacks. And I believe that people kind of missed the boat on what he was. The fact that he was the 10th overall pick, drafted behind guys like Josh Allen, you can debate whether he was better than Baker Mayfield or even Sam Darnold. I don't understand why he wasn't a top five pick, but I think if you're the Arizona Cardinals, I think you should be excited about what he is and what he will be in an offense that is eventually built around his talent.
Boy, you know what? Honestly, I agree with you 100% on that one. I really do in regard to Josh Rosen. I think a lot of people misread this kid big time. We're talking to Bucky Brooks here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Bucky, what's trending in the National Football League right now? When you think of the NFL, what do you think is trending? What's new? What's fresh? What's happening?
You know, I think there are a couple of things that are trending in the National Football League. I think, obviously, everyone looked at the creativity that is being displayed by some of the top offenses, the Kansas City Chiefs, the L.A. Rams. What you're seeing are a lot of things that we see on Saturdays kind of trickle into the pro game on Sundays. Fly sweep motion, double motions. We're seeing RPOs. We're seeing quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, have a lot of success because their coaches – I'll put them in situations where they can just kind of play the game loosely and freely like they've done on Friday nights and Saturday nights before they made their way into the league. I think those things are certain trends. But I think the other thing that is trending, if you don't have a team that is necessarily constructed to play that kind of style, I think the old tried and true adage of kind of leaning on the running game gives you an opportunity to have success. If you look at last night's game with the Seattle Seahawks, a team that is number one in rushing, they're able to kind of tip the scales back into their favor because they can run the ball.
Yep.
As these defenses load up on small guys that can rush the passer, it's only a matter of time before the offensive cycle trickles back to putting big guys on the field, more tight ends, more big bodies, more power running game to see if they can hold up and withstand the power running that is available. I think when you look at the Seattle Seahawks and the Washington Redskins, those are two teams that may rank in the middle of the pack. But I think the good coaches are going to look at how they're playing and say, you know, if everyone is making it a passing league, maybe we need to be a physical run team because that's going to be harder to defend mm-hmm. when people aren't doing it
that's
as much.
That's a great point, Buck.
Bucky, did you mean all that, or were you just sucking up to a former fullback because Wolf is losing his mind right now in excitement of what you just said?
No. I think the trend is there. I think there are a couple of things that people are missing the boat on. One, the devaluation of the running back kind of drives me crazy. I think the thing is the running back is more valuable than ever now. It's just that the running back that is valued is a guy that can run and catch the ball out the backfield. Obviously, you guys are there in Arizona. You know with David Johnson, when David Johnson is utilized and given the ball not only as a runner but as a receiver, it makes a difference to that offense. And so the good offensive coordinators are finding a way to find what I call those hybrids, those guys that can do it as mm-hmm. runners and receivers. They maximize their ability to impact the game by not only featuring them as runners, by putting them in space, giving them ball out of the backfield on option routes and swings, and allowing them to enjoy favorable matchups against linebackers. I think the league is trending where your running backs are arguably the second most important offensive piece behind the quarterback yep. because they can alleviate so much pressure on young quarterbacks in particular.
Bucky Brooks joining Doug and Wolf. You can see him on NFL.com. He's heavy into scouting, watching for trends, watching for players, but also he was a player. He was a corner, played for the Raiders at one point since the Cardinals are playing the Raiders. Listening to what you just said, utilizing David Johnson correctly and young offensive coordinator. So let me combine both of those two things you said and ask this. Is Byron Leftwich destined to be a good head coach, great head coach, offensive coordinator? Do you like what you're seeing now since Mike McCoy was let go from the Cardinals?
Yeah, you know, and this is tough for me because Mike McCoy is a dear friend of mine. We were teammates in Green Bay, and we also worked together in Carolina. But I will say Byron Leftwich has done a great job of basically taking what Bruce Arians was doing with David Johnson and reintroducing it into the offense. We've seen in the last couple of weeks, David Johnson's gotten more carries, more touches. David Johnson was a major factor in that game against Kansas City because he was a guy that they kind of built the offensive game plan around. And in fact, it was what I thought this offense was going to do very early in the year yep. with Josh Rosen, lean on number 31, allow him to be the bell cow, and then allow Josh Rosen to kind of ease into the game. We have seen that since Byron Leftwich has come back into the fold. And yes, I do believe Byron Leftwich is eventually destined to be a head coach. I don't believe it necessarily happened in this cycle, but I think what people are looking for, they're looking for young, creative, offensive minds who understand how to build an offense while also elevating the play of the quarterback. I think we've seen some flashes and glimpses that Byron Leftwich understands how to do that. They probably want to see a longer track record, but I think he is definitely trending in the right direction.
Bucky, sorry to do this to you, but we got about a minute here. What is going to be the depth? What kind of strength does this 2019 draft have?
You know, if you're a team looking for offensive personnel, you can be disappointed at the top of the draft. This is a defense-heavy draft. This is a defensive draft that is loaded with defensive linemen, pass rushers, everything that you want to build a strong defense. If you're looking to upgrade your offense, you have to turn to free agency because there just aren't many marquee players there. And so when we look to the draft, I think a lot of the focus will be just on the big bodies down in the trenches. There may be 8, 9, 10 guys on the defensive line that wow. find themselves with first-round grades. It is a draft that if you want to get better on defense, you're happy. If you're looking for offense, you're probably a little disappointed.
Man, this was a real enjoyable talk on ball, which is a bad move by you because now we're going to bug you even more than we already are. That was really good to talk to you. Anything to promote? When's the next? If somebody wants more Bucky Brooks in their life, how can they get it?
Well, I'm just about to publish my notebook. We're going to talk about, are the Steelers better off without Le'Veon Bell? I'm going to say no. And then should the Titans pay big money for Marcus Mariota? That's some of the topics in my notebook.
Good. That's interesting
Bucky,
stuff.
Bucky, thank you, man.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys.